So we're going to talk about these six ingredients, and I want you to just kind of relax, get your notebook out, and let's see if we can make a note of these six ingredients. Now, last week, Darlene spoke about the experience at the table, how that the table is the Jesus throughout the Word and God throughout the Word of God. Just use the table for different, for drawing closer together and for communication and things like that. And so we're going to talk about today the six ingredients. How many knows when marriage is when a man and a woman become as one, but the trouble starts when they're trying to decide which one? Somebody asked the question, why are husbands like lawnmowers? They said they're hard to get started, emit foul odors, and don't work half the time. Okay, let's try to clean this up a little bit. The five most essential words for a healthy, vital relationship are I apologize and you are right. Amen? And the women said, husband asked his wife, why do you keep reading our marriage license? And she said, I'm looking for an expiration date. Marriages are made in heaven, but so is thunder, lightning, tornadoes, and hail. We're going to try to speak positive today about the family. Amen. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, your devices, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 25. I'm reading the first translation will be NIV. The second one will be the NLT. We'll give you a little different perspective on this scripture. Matthew 12, 25. NIV. Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household, and may I insert church, divided against itself will not stand. NLT, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family or church splintered by feuding will fall apart. And somebody said amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the word today. We believe, God, that the word will go forth. We teach the word, God, and you've anointed us to speak. We've anointed our ears to hear. God, we ask you to anoint our hearts to be doers of your word. Speak today, Lord, loud and clear, and help us to learn something from your word. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Basically, Jesus is saying in real Daryl Rhodes English, is it's not going to last. Anytime there's division and strife, whether it's in a family, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a business, it's not going to last. It is doomed to fall. It's impossible to build a marriage where there is constantly division coming forth. You may get by for a while, but in the long run, it's not going to last. And every day of our lives, we see people that has a house that's divided. And you know that if they don't come together, eventually it's going to come to ruin. Now, there was a sixth grade teacher in California that decided to that she was going to make ask for a creative writing project. So she asked all of her students to complete this sentence. She said, her sixth grade students, I wish blank. I wish fill in the blank. She was thinking people would say, I wish I had a bicycle. Or I wish we could go to Disneyland. Or I wish that I would get a bigger allowance. Or I wish we had a swimming pool. She thought that was the kind of answers that she would be getting. But she collected the 30 papers, and two-thirds of those 30 papers dealt with home life. Some of the responses were the following. I wish my parents wouldn't fight. I wish my father would come back. I wish I could make better grades so my father would love me. I wish I had one mom and one dad, so the other kids wouldn't make fun of me. When Mother Teresa was asked one time when she received the Nobel Peace Prize, she was asked, what can we do to promote world peace? You know what her answer was? Go home and love your family. Go home and love your family. There was a survey taken by a professor of University of Tennessee. He placed a small ad in 25 newspapers throughout the Midwest. The ad read like this. If you live in a strong family, please contact us. We know a lot about what makes families fail, but we need to know more about what makes families succeed. They received over 3,000 responses, and out of them came up with six things that kept repeating over and over what made families stronger. Therefore, we come up with this message title today, Six Ingredients of a Strong Family. Now, how many knows when you're making a cake or you're baking something and you leave out an ingredient, how many knows it can change the whole outcome? Absolutely. My mom made banana pudding one time and she forgot the bananas. But we had pudding, you know. Who wants to leave chocolate chips out of chocolate chip cookies? When you leave one ingredient out, by the way, those cookies were great. I'll take more of those next week, all right? We leave out an ingredient, it's going to affect the outcome. And so when I say these six ingredients, I believe they are necessary to have a strong family unit. Now, I'm not necessarily, Darlene and I are not teaching on marriage. It's not like a marriage seminar because Lou and Tiff are going to do that in a few weeks. But we just want to talk about building families, having strong families. And number one, you might be surprised, the number one answer or the number one ingredient is commitment. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Commitment. Commitment. You leave it out, you're going to fail. Do you know that when you said your wedding vows, anybody remember that far back? When you said you just had an anniversary, didn't you? How many years? 27. Congratulations, 27 years. We just had one, 40 years. Anybody else have an anniversary recently? All right. Well, do you remember the vows that you took, whether it was 40 years ago, 27 years ago, or 5 years ago? You said, here we go, I promise to be faithful. How long? Faithful until you do me wrong. Faithful until you're so sick I have to get rid of you. You know, there's people that's divorced their family members because they were sick. Yeah, they didn't want to care for them. But listen, folks, the Bible, our commitment to one another was until death do we part. Do you remember that little part that said in sickness and in health? Huh? Remember that part that said for richer or poorer, we will stay with you. How about this? For better or worse? How many's experienced the worst? Don't raise your hands. You know, I'm afraid that we're living in a society, in a culture that has forgotten a lot about commitment. Amen. Amen. We have forgotten the word commitment, or we don't care about commitment. We like options, don't we? Yeah, we like options. We like short-term things, like I'd like to join the gym, but I don't want to sign up for 2 years in a membership. So they've lowered their standards, and they said, well, just sign up for a month at a time. But listen, marriage is we're in it for the long haul, aren't we? Amen. For better, for worse, richer or poorer, yeah. For gooder or better. But however you say that. I've done so many weddings, I forgot how I say that. But, you know, we don't mind these short-term commitments because you know, it's kind of like Walmart. If you don't like it, you can take it back, right? You got 30, used to, you could take it back. 30 days, you got 30 days to take it back. And maybe someday there might be a marriage contract like that, Mark, where you can just try her out for 30 days, and if she doesn't bit the bill, then you can take it back and get a refund. Yeah, now they just live together to see if they like each other enough to get married. Well, that's not according to God's word either, is it? Just take her back if you're not happy. Take him back. This is not the guy I married. What happened? You know, let's take him back. But aren't you glad that my God, your God, our God is a God of commitment? I said he's a God of commitment. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Woo, that's good news. He says, whatever I promise, that will I do. He doesn't say, well, if it doesn't rain, I'll be in a good mood. If the sun's not shining, I won't be in a good mood. Thank God he's ever true to his word and he cannot lie. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Somebody shout amen. Oh, by the way, and God doesn't have dementia. He doesn't forget what he said he'd do. He doesn't forget his promises. Amen? That ought to make somebody jump up and shout around this church this morning. Amen. God doesn't have dementia. Jesus, talking about commitment, Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, let your yes be yes and your no be no. The NIV says all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. James 5 and 12 says, just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. Commitment. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Brother Rhodes, I thought you was talking on the family. Well, I'm going to just do a little bit of meddling right now. If you tell somebody you're going to do it, do it. If you tell somebody I'll take it, take it. If you tell somebody you'll be there, be there. Brother Roach, I didn't come to hear this kind of preaching. Well, I'm sorry. It's already been said. Amen. If you close a deal on a handshake, you make that handshake good. If you say I'll pay for it, pay for it. If you sign on the dotted line that I'll pay by the 15th of every month, you better pay by the 15th of every month. The 15th, the 16th is not the 15th. Is this okay so far? Anybody want to quit the church today? You going to stick with me a little longer? Well, you just hang on. You may not before this is over. There's a lot of Christians giving Christianity a bad name. I'll be there. I'll do that. I'll say yes. I'll help out and not show up. Hello? I'll be there. How many knows if you close a deal on a handshake, you shouldn't have to have six lawyers there to witness it? Amen? Amen. What a shame. I want to promote commitment. We need to promote commitment not only in our marriage but in our everyday life with one another in the church. We need to keep our commitments to each other. By the way, I'm committed to one church, not three churches. I'm committed to one wife, not three wives. I have one church. Amen? Amen. I'm committed to it. And I just want to remind you all that... you know, because I am committed to my wife, I promise to take care of her in sickness and in health. I promise to watch over her. I promise to be there for her. And you know what? We need to make that same kind of a commitment to our church. How many knows it wouldn't hurt to say till death do us part? How many knows you can't build a church, you can't build a team, you can't build a marriage, you can't build a business if you don't have commitment? What has kept me here for 47 and a half years now has been my commitment to this people, commitment to you. You may not have been here 46 years ago, but I committed to God that I would be faithful to teach and preach the Word of God in Farmington until he said, that's enough. It's time to come home. Amen. Amen? Listen to this scripture in Proverbs. It says, many people declare themselves loyal, but who can find someone who is really faithful? So I'll say it again. For those of you that are hard of hearing, are you up here? Okay. No, not you. You're not hard of hearing. No. Are we ready? If you say you'll be there, be there. If you say I'll pay for it, pay for it. Don't you appreciate this lady over here? Come on, let's love on Sister Becky. Hallelujah. If you say I'll bring it, bring it. There you go, Alex, for the men's meet and greet, or whatever you call it. If you say you're going to bring it, right? Amen. Amen. If you want a great marriage, be committed to it. If you want a great church, be committed to it. Amen? Amen. Support your church. Support your local church. You know, I don't go to Pasta House and eat a nice meal and then walk over to Applebee's and pay the bill. Be committed to your church. Be committed to your church. Amen. Commitment begins before marriage. Now, I want to just do a little meddling here again. The young ladies that are here or single ladies that are here, and you're looking for a guy, I don't care if you're 19, 20, or 30, or 40. Carissa, I know you'll be listening to this, so listen closely, young ladies. I'll hear about this tomorrow. If a guy that you're dating is abusive, mean, hothead, bossy, controlling, and selfish before marriage, he's not going to change after marriage. Woo! Should I say all those things again? Does anybody need that again? If you are dating a guy that is controlling, selfish, abusive, mean, hot-headed, and bossy before, he's not going to be any better after you marry him. You're not going to change him. How many little Pentecostal girls have fell in love with a guy that didn't love God and said, I'm going to change him. I'll get him filled with the Holy Ghost on our wedding night. No, you won't. Amen. You're not going to do it. Stop looking for Mr. Abs. Stop looking for Mr. Wavy Black Hair and Blue Eyes. Stop looking for Ken and Barbie. They don't exist. Somebody shout amen. Amen. There's no such thing as Ken and Barbie. Find somebody that loves you. Now listen to this. Somebody who loves you for who you are. They have a job. That's a good one. That's number one priority. Well, number one is love Jesus. Number two, make sure they have a job. I've gone to meddling here, but that's all right. I'll get back on track here. Make sure that here we go. And that they care about your dreams and your feelings. If all they talk about is how great they are and their dreams and their visions, you know what? You need to drag that dead dog to the veterinary and let them spade him or something, right? Let me give you two kinds of glue that is needed in every home. Two kinds of glue that is needed in every home. Number one, spiritual bonding. Everybody say spiritual bonding. You know what that means? We're praying together. We're reading the word together. Dan and Debbie, every morning they get up and they open up a devotional. They read the devotional. They read the Bible. They pray together every day. It's not always convenient. It's not always easy. But you know what? We need to pray together. Husbands, take the lead in praying in your family. Don't say, well, I'm not a good prayer. Stop trying to impress your wife with your prayer. Just pray to God. Amen. Get rid of all that nervousness about, well, I just can't pray out loud. Yes, you can. I've heard you talk. Amen. And stop making prayer so complicated. I've said this before, but I feel like I want to say it again. If you call our house and we're watching NCIS and you say, oh, I've got a prayer request. Would you please pray for Johnny? Johnny's got surgery tomorrow morning. You know what I'll do? I'll hit the pause button. Darlene and I will join hands and we'll say, Lord, we pray for Johnny that you'll give him a successful surgery, a quick recovery. We pray, God, that everything will be taken care of. He'll come home strong and healthy. And thank you for being with the doctors and the nurses in the hospital. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what I do next? I hit the play button. I don't get in the floor and lay down and pray for 4 or 5 hours because God's not impressed with long prayers. God's not impressed with your long, flowery words. He had something to say about that too, didn't he? In Matthew's gospel. So just learn to say, you know what? I'm gonna say this with me. Long prayers does not mean better prayers. I say it again. Long prayers does not mean better prayers. I'll tell you what. I believe I could actually grow a beard waiting for some people to say amen. I've heard preachers where I could sit out in the audience and grow a beard while they preach too. But anyway, we're not talking about preachers. We're talking about you today. Stop that nonsense of trying to impress people with your flowery words. Those people don't answer your prayers. God does. Talk to God like, okay, in the middle of where you're at. I'm going to tell you something. Darlene and I'll come back to that one. It doesn't matter if you're driving down the road and somebody calls and says, I got a prayer request. Just reach over and grab your spouse by the hand and begin to pray right there while you're driving down the road. You don't have to pull off the side of the road and find you a tree stump somewhere and kneel and pray. Just pray while you're driving down the road. Yeah, don't close your eyes. Thank you. Thank you. I forgot that very important part. Keep your eyes open while you're praying. And don't try sticking your hands up through the sunroof, okay? Just pray. Be normal, all right? Be normal. So, all right, we're talking about spiritual bonding, praying together. That's so important in a healthy marriage that you pray together, and you don't have to stop at a store and buy candles and invite Saint Augustine or the Virgin Mary to come in and pray with you. All you got to do is talk to God right there where you're at. Amen. You don't have to get real religious. Just pray. Just talk to God. Lord, I know that Gary and Connie's going through major marriage problems right now, and Lord, we'd like to see them stay together for another 30, 40 years, and God, just heal them and heal their marriage, and just go on down the road. Amen. Are you doing it better today? All right. By the way, you don't have to scream at the top of your voice when you're praying either. You don't have to scream and yell. You know, God's not deaf, right? And he'll hear you. But if you do get loud, how many knows he's not nervous either? Okay, so but when you're if you're in a restaurant and you're praying, you don't have to get the attention of the whole restaurant. I've seen it before. I've been in restaurants where Christians would just really make a scene to impress everybody with their prayers. You're not impressing anybody. Come on, church. That's good preaching, right? And you know, I have prayed. Thank God, I've had the privilege. I've been into judges. What's that room? Chambers. I've been in the judges' chambers and prayed with judges. I've prayed with attorneys in their offices. I've prayed with doctors. Every time Darlene and I go to our doctor, before we leave, we join hands and we pray together. But we don't pray so stinking loud that everybody in the office can hear it. We just pray for one another. We believe in that. I've prayed down at the sheriff's office. I've grabbed the sheriff by the hands and I said, let's pray. I went to the chief of police in Farmington. I took him by the hand and said, come on, Chris, we need to pray. And that, you know what? You don't have to make a scene. Just be normal. Everybody can pray. And husbands, we need to take the lead in praying with our family. Amen. So that's spiritual bonding. But there's another kind of glue that we need, and it's called physical bonding. Everybody say physical bonding. Do you mind if I get R-rated for just a minute? Okay. Oh, we'll keep it PG. Okay. Do you know that when you hold hands, or you kiss your wife, or you touch and hold, it's good for the kids to see that. Now, I know the old timers never wanted their kids to see them, give a peck on the cheek or touch one another. They said, well, that's inappropriate. I'm going to tell you something. Let your kids see your affection for one another so they'll know how to treat their spouse when they get older. Amen. Now, I've got a whole other page on that right now. It says see page 15, but I'm going to skip it for the sake of time. But I think you get the message, right? Let your children see the affection that you have for one another. And you know what? They'll feel more secure. They'll feel more loved themselves when they see the love in the home like that. Amen. They need to see it displayed. Okay. Number two, I said six ingredients. Number two, we're going to speed through this now. The second ingredient for building a strong family is you must spend time together. Amen. Write it down. You must spend time together. 1,500 kids were surveyed and were asked, what makes a family happy? 90% of them said, doing things together. If you were to ask this young man right over here, Max Kramer, if you'd ask him, what makes you the most happy? He might say pizza, but you know what really makes him happy is when the family gets together. He loves family. And isn't it interesting that these kids replied, doing things together. It wasn't money, cars, nice things. It was doing things together. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and see people, a family, and they're sitting at a booth or at a table, and all four of them's got their nose stuck in their phone? Mom, dad, son, and daughter got their nose stuck in the phone. I saw somebody the other day. I don't know who was with me, but I said, look at that. Everybody's got their nose in a phone. That's not being together. Come on. That's everybody doing their own thing. So maybe we've kind of lost the art of communication, but we need to do things together, spend time together. Okay, number three, the third ingredient for building a strong family is appreciation. It's okay, and you should show appreciation one to another. It's okay to, I believe we need to capitalize on some verbal appreciation and showing appreciation to our family members. How about your wife? How about showing some appreciation for your wife? How about your wife showing some appreciation for your husband? Amen? I heard someone say one time that home is the place where you go when you get tired of being nice to other people. You're nice to everyone at the office. You're nice to everyone at church. You're nice to everyone, you know, that you meet, you know, on the telephone. But when you come home, you're a grizzly bear. That should not be so. Amen. Verbal appreciation. Lifting up one another. I can't imagine not telling my children that I love them. I cannot imagine embracing them and holding them. Even at their old age, I still... Our son is what, 50, I got it in here, so 55 years old. We've got a 55-year-old son. And you know what? When I see him, I still hug him and kiss him on the cheek. Every time I come to the office, and Tiffany's sitting up there in that corner office over there, she'll get up. If I don't get to her first, she'll get up and she'll come to me and say, "Daddy, good to see you today." And she'll give me a big old hug and a kiss. Or I'll walk over and give her a kiss on the cheek. You know what? We need to show appreciation, show love. It's okay. Don't worry about what somebody's going to say or think. Amen. I can't imagine telling my children, you know, that I have a dream for you, and I believe God's got a destiny for you. Do you remember when Jesus was talking to those fishermen that was all washed up? They were burned out. They were failures. They were quitting. They were mending their nets. But Jesus saw something in them besides fishermen. They were ready to quit. They were ready to give it up. But when Jesus saw them, he saw destiny on the inside of those fishermen. He said, "I will make you fishers of men." Amen. Is this okay today?
Yeah.
Everybody say, "Continue on," and I will.
Continue on.
Start when they're young. Start showing that love. Kiss that little baby. I tell you what, when my kids were babies, I kiss my dog more than I, no, let's see, I shouldn't say that. I kiss my dog a lot. When we had babies at home, I tell you what, we just hold them and cuddle them. When Amy was a baby, she practically lived with us, didn't you? And we just hold her and kiss her, and she would hug us and kiss us back. I tell you what, that's all right. Show that physical appreciation and love to them. Amen. By the way, this is still done in the Middle East, even if you're old. Let me show you how they do it in the Middle East. Come here, I'll show you how they do it in the Middle East, brother Boomer. Now, how many knows this guy is very affectionate? He loves to kiss everybody on the neck or on the cheek. And you know what? He's not for one minute trying to be ugly or abusive or creepy. He's not creepy. Everybody say, "Boomer is not creepy." Look at that camera right there. Boomer is not creepy. I'm not going to show you how they do it in the Middle East, but they still kiss on both cheeks in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And man, I have had some sloppy kisses from some of those old men from Armenia and Georgia and Azerbaijan. I mean, they got their beards, and they'll come up and they'll just sloppy kiss you on both. Thanks for being a good. They kiss on both cheeks. That's just a tradition, you know. And it's okay to kiss your children. Amen. Like I said earlier, I'm so in love with my dog, I kiss my dog. And Max says, "Grandpa, that's nasty. Papa, you shouldn't be doing that." Tell your children how beautiful they are. Amen. You say, "Well, they're grown up and got their own families." That's okay. Let them know how beautiful they are and that you believe in them and that you love them. Amen. And especially if you've got any daughters that are still at home and they get down on themselves. How many knows they can get down on themselves? They can say, "You know, I don't like my lips. I don't like my nose. I don't like my hips. I don't like my toes." But you can tell them, you can talk to them and say, "You know what? You're beautiful. You're beautiful." And I will tell you, let me just take this one step further. We do that with our natural family, but you know we can do that with our church family too. We can be nice to one another. We can tell somebody, "You look nice today," without somebody thinking you're flirting with them. Amen? Or that you're weird. If I go up to Brother Roth and I say, "Brother Roth, you sure do look nice today," don't think I'm being creepy. I'm just being friendly.
Amen.
Amen. So learn to show appreciation, not just to your own kids, but you know what? We got a bunch of little ones around this church. Now, we have to be careful these days what we do, but you can let them know that they're loved and they're special and they're wonderful kids. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody needs to know that somebody is proud of them, right?
Amen.
Everybody needs to know that somebody loves them. Somebody believes in them. We all need to hear that. I like to hear it when somebody says, you know, I believe in you, Pastor. Thank you for being our pastor. That was a great word. I like to hear that once in a while.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I like to hear it more than once. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. We're all human beings, aren't we? We all like to hear, you did a good job. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Amen? Let me just read this to you here. This is really, I saw this the other day, and I thought, I'm going to say that Sunday morning. A man forgot to put his phone on silent in the church during preaching. The pastor scolded him. The worshipers rebuked him after the service for interrupting. His friends and acquaintances shook their head in disgust. His wife kept on nagging him all the way home. You could see the shame, the embarrassment, and humiliation all over him. Guess what? He never stepped foot in that church again after that Sunday service. That evening, he went to a bar. He was still nervous and trembling. He spilled his drink on the table, and the bottle fell by accident. It splashed on some people nearby. Those it touched rushed towards him. He closed his eyes, expecting a bashing of words or slaps. Instead, they cared to know, did you get cut from the broken bottle? The waiter apologized and gave him a napkin to clean himself. The janitor mopped the floor. The female manager offered him a complimentary drink. She also gave him a huge hug and a kiss on the cheek. And she said, don't worry about it, sir. Who doesn't make mistakes? He has not stopped going to that bar since. How many know sometimes our attitude as believers drive people to hell? Did you hear me? Sometimes our attitude will drive people to hell. Now, here's the last statement. We can make a difference by how we treat people, especially when they make mistakes. So maybe they forgot to turn their phone off. Maybe they have to keep their phone on because they're on call. Hello? We got to stop being, I've gone off on left field in another pig trail. But listen, when somebody's looking at their phone in church, we're so quick to say, oh, they're playing a game, or they're looking at pictures, or they're texting, or they're playing, or they're not listening. I get on my phone every Sunday morning when church starts. And I know people are thinking, oh, that preacher, he just can't put his phone down. But I'm going live on Facebook from the church social media to my social media. I'm sharing it with my page so that, and maybe I should do it 10 minutes early. But I don't. I don't think about it till I get here. But you know what? Everybody, let's just drop the judgment stuff, okay? Because you know what? You can drop people away. And I know I probably have driven people away with my smart mouth at times. And I sincerely apologize for that. And I'm still working on me, and he's still working on me, and we're going to make it, right? Okay. How to have a secure family. Let me give you the word secure. S-E-C-U-R-E. S, spend time together. How to have a secure family. E, express positive thoughts. C, constantly, here's a good one, constantly discipline. How'd you guys know that? Oh, I didn't know that was up there. Yeah. Consistently disciplined. I better look at my own notes here. Can't fool you guys, can we? let's go back to that C for just a minute. Consistently disciplined. You know, it wouldn't hurt for us to teach our children how to say, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. May I be excused? Thank you. Please. You're welcome. Somebody needs to get a picture of that and take that and put it on your refrigerator door. It's okay. I had a military father, okay, and it wasn't yes. It had to be yes, sir. If I ever just said yes, he'd say, what'd you say, boy? He couldn't even remember my name. Just boy. What did you say, boy? Anybody have a dad like that? My dad, My dad was, Tiffany, my dad was so strict. My dad would never let me make just one piece of toast because there was two slots in it. And it took just as much electricity to make two as it did one. Did your dad ever say, shut the refrigerator door? It's not, what are you doing staring in there? You're losing precious, cool. You had a grandfather that did that, yeah? Yeah, a lot of the old timers used to do that, didn't they? Hey, you can go back to Nashville in about 30 minutes. My kids and grandkids have all learned that you turn the light switches off when you leave the room. And I still do it here at the church. And I know they get frustrated at me, but I'll walk through the church and I'll turn off lights. If they don't need to be on, they don't need to be on. I'll mess with the air. I've gotten crucified over this one, but I mess, you know, if nobody's in there, don't need to be cooled, right? So, anyway. Before you get up from the table, say, may I be excused? You want to practice on that, Max? Hey, here's a good one. Y'all going to appreciate this one. When you belch, say, excuse me. Okay, let me explain. I did some really deep research to come up with this. The noise of a burp comes from trapped gas in the stomach and upper esophagus when the food pipe is closed. This gas is under pressure, especially when there's a lot of it. But some people like to light it and make an explosive noise, but not every belch has to sound like a freight train. Where in the world did this come from? You, S-E-C-U, unite during crisis. Amen. Unite during crisis. Don't separate. Don't fall apart. Don't go your separate ways. And even in the church, when there's a crisis or there's something going on, don't separate. Just dig in. Amen. Okay. R, recognize each other's unique value. Recognize the other person's value, how to have a secure family. If you tear down, criticize, and are always on your children for something, you're not going to have a secure family. Amen? Number E, encourage daily. Listen to this. Encouragement is the fertilizer of a family, and it makes real people real fast. Encouragement. Do you know that over 90% of the inmates in prison were told by their parents while they were growing up, you're going to be put in jail someday? Huh? Okay, I'll skip the rest of this since y'all are enjoying this so much. Number four, the ingredient for a strong family, communication. Communication. I haven't spoke to my wife for 18 months. I don't like to interrupt her. That's not communication. I better just mark these out, huh? Because I'll hear about it when I get home. They are funny, though. My wife was hinting about what she wanted for our upcoming anniversary. She said, I want something shiny that goes from 0 to 150 in 3 seconds. So I bought her some scales. The Dallas Morning News says this. The average American couple, after 10 years of marriage, spend only 37 minutes a week in meaningful, close communication. Isn't that sad? And we wonder why our families are falling apart. Amen. Half of the divorces are credited to a lack of communication. Darlene and I, we talk all the time. You know, we work together, right? We work in the same building, not the same office, but we work in the same building. And we're always texting or calling or stopping by each other's office. Sometimes it's just stopping by to get a kiss. I have the luxury of working by my wife, but I don't get. It's not one of these things where I don't want to see her all day long. I'm at work, but I thank God that my wife and I have excellent communication. We can leave the church the same time at the end of the day, and we'll be on the phone all the way home. Communication, it's important in every family. Amen? Amen. Okay, number five. the fifth ingredient for a strong family, coping skills. Everybody say coping skills. What you, this simply means you try to find something positive in every crisis. Listen, every family is dysfunctional, all right? Don't think that yours is unique and you're the only dysfunctional family in the church. I'm going to say it again. Every family somewhere is a little bit dysfunctional. And there are crises that happens in every family. Every family. We all have crises. We all have unexpected things come up. We all have hot water heaters that burn out, right? We all have air conditioners that go bad, right, Nick? We all have to go through things. But I want to tell you something. I don't care if you're married to Billy Graham or the Virgin Mary, you're still going to have problems. Every family has problems. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. There's no such thing as a problem-free family. I'm not saying my family is dysfunctional, but I looked up my family tree and I found out I was the sap. Somebody said insanity is hereditary. You get it from your children. Developing your coping skills. Problems are everywhere. They're in businesses. They're in churches. You show me a church that don't have a problem. And honestly, I can stand here today and say, you know, the problems that we may have here at Solid Rock are not so major. They're not life-threatening. They're not going to close the doors of the church. But, you know, everybody has problems. Every church, every business, every situation, everything has some kind of a problem. And even families. Amen? And it's not the problem that hurts us. It's not knowing how to deal with the problems that hurt us. I hope you heard that. It's the improper response to those problems that hurt us the most. Amen. Sometimes when problems come, families will make up and some families will break up, right? But if you don't have coping skills, you're never going to make it. I heard about a family that wanted to present a book of the family tree to their father for his birthday. It was a good family, but they had one bad apple in the family, and it was Uncle George. Uncle George went to the electric chair for murder. They said, well, let's try to make Uncle George look good as we can. So the publishers wrote about Uncle George something like this. Uncle George, 1901 to 1981. He was occupied in the chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. He was attached to his position in the strongest of ties, and his death came as a real shock. Number six, the sixth ingredient. I think this is probably one of the most important ones, but we need all six of them, is we've got to have tremendous faith. If you're going to have a strong family, you're going to have faith. Faith. A recent survey shows this. Praise and worship team, you want to come up here and join me? Come on up here, and we'll get ready to do this. But listen to this. A recent survey shows that if mom and dad both attend church regularly, remember this. Please, remember this. 72% of the children will remain faithful to church if mom and dad attend regularly. Now, if the father only attends, 55% of the children will remain faithful. If only the mother attends, and we see a lot of this where mamas only attend church and the children, do we have this? Oh, we good, good. If the mother attends, only 15% of the children remain faithful to the house of God. 15. That's a long ways from 72, isn't it? But listen to this. If neither mother or father attend the house of God regularly, only 6% remain faithful. What an incentive. What an incentive. That'll make us want to say and do, as for me and my house, we will attend church. We will serve the Lord. Amen. My kids are going to be really surprised when I die. They're in for a big surprise. Because some of them are probably waiting for a great big 401k, or they're waiting for all my investments to pay off. They're waiting to cash in on my savings account. And Brother Sam, I'm afraid they're going to be really, really disappointed when that time comes. But I tell you what, I can leave my children. I can leave them the Word of God and the teachings of the Word that says the faithfulness and the favor of God is better than all the rubies and the gold and the pearls that this world has to offer. If I can teach them the favor of God, if I can teach them to be faithful to God, if I can teach them, I mean, the favor of God will outlast anything that I can give them. Do you know most of your kids will probably go through your inheritance in the first 12 months? But if I can leave my kids the knowledge of God, the favor of God, I wonder how many of my kids would like to have all my preaching sermon notes. One. No, I shouldn't have said that. There may be others. I've never asked them. Long after you leave this earth, God's favor will preserve your children for your sake. Because you were faithful to God, God's favor will continue through the generations. Remember King David? Remember what God told King David? He said, long after you leave this earth, God's favor will preserve your children. David built a house for God, but you can follow his genealogy for 300 years. Now, how many knows he had some real culprits for kings? He had some guys that weren't too close to God. He had some nasty boys, and they became kings, and they were corrupt. But guess what it says over and over and over in the Bible? God did not judge them because of David's sake. God did not judge them for David's sake. God's favor has been passed on generationally, even to some of his most obnoxious children. And thank God, when the money runs out, the favor of God continues. Would you stand with me this morning? I want us to pray today. And I want us to pray for our pray for our marriage. Excuse me. This is part two of the series Building Strong Families. Next week, Darlene's coming back with one that is going to be so good. You're going to enjoy it. But I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you want to just join hands with your spouse, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. And I'm gonna pray this prayer. I wrote it down so that I can break it down so that we can follow it. But just say this with me this morning. Say it out loud. Dear God, thank you for the gift of family.
Dear God, thank you for the gift of family.
Help us to be tightly knit.
Help us to be tightly knit.
Let the love we share be a testament to your grace. And an example for others to follow. Teach us patience, kindness, understanding, so that we can uplift each other in the good times and the bad times. God, may our family be so strong, so united, no matter what life throws our way, we will stand. I pray wisdom will fill my heart and each member of my family. Jesus, we turn to you for guidance. Every decision, big or small, we look to you. Show us how to share our wisdom with each other. Bless us with discernment to know what's right, and give us the courage to follow through. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you, God, that even though there was a few trails here and there, God, we believe that the essence was received. Those six ingredients that we need in order to have a strong family, a secure family. And Father, I pray that these words will be taken to heart. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to listen. Help us to learn. And help us to grow. Grow our marriages and grow our families. In Jesus' name.